Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We're continuing today with a second lesson on the general theme, What Do Young People Deserve? Now, yesterday we emphasized some things that young people do not deserve, though they might think they do. But they do not deserve some things as adults do because they cannot assume the responsibility of adults. But there are things that they deserve, and we mentioned them as we closed yesterday. They deserve instruction and training and discipline. But let's listen to the Word of God. God said to parents, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it." Children deserve that godly training. God said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." A child that is not brought up that way is underprivileged. We pity that poor, underprivileged child who's never had parents to show the difference between right and wrong, or chastised him when he violated the right and rewarded him when he did violated the right, or rewarded and encouraged him when he did the right and avoided the wrong. How else can a young person ever know if he's not taught? There is nothing inherent in a person that tells him what's right and wrong. That's a matter of training. That's a matter of teaching. Friend, he deserves to receive that. It is not to love the child to indulge him and deprive him of the knowledge of the will of God. Listen to some of the Proverbs. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Similarly, we read, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." And again, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." I read again, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." From Proverbs again, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Proverbs again, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." I read a couple of others. "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Friend, these are words that have come from inspiration from the writer Solomon in the book of Proverbs. These things need to be taught and heard, and to discipline the child, that does not mean to abuse the child at all. It's talking about training that child and disciplining that child. Now listen to what else the Bible might have to say about training the child. The child has to be trained, he has to be molded. Any child that's allowed to reach a physical maturity without this kind of instruction, without that kind of training, without that kind of discipline, without the right kind of example, yes, that's an underprivileged child. Some have gone to the sinful extreme in correcting children, to be sure. They have abused the child. Well, this is neither taught nor warranted nor sanctioned by the will of God. That's not the kind of discipline God wants. Discipline is not to abuse the child. Older people must learn how to properly administer discipline to the child, not abuse, but to train. But now listen to something else the young people do deserve. Young people deserve having duties to perform according to their ability. This is how they learn about work. Youth is not a time for the fulfillment of all of the matters of life. Youth is a time for preparation for the remainder of life. A young person is not supposed to be an adult. He's not supposed to live in all the phases of his life as a youth as if he were a small adult. Many parents have not yet learned this important point. They treat their children as if they were just small adults. Children are not expected to act like mature adults any more than mature adults are expected to continue to act like children. The children cannot be expected to behave in an adult fashion. You see, friend, children need chores and work to teach them to be responsible and to learn the job of doing tasks successfully. They can't handle adult matters, to be sure. There are things, however, that they can do. Oh, yes, sometimes they might fuss about it. Even adults continue to fuss about things that they're supposed to do. But the adage is that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. We should give our children responsible chores to do so that they could learn that they are responsible and can be successful in discharging their duties. You see, life imposes responsibility, does it not? And the sooner one learns to deal with the duty that he has, the sooner he will be equipped for the realities of life. In doing everything for the child, that's not really helping the child. That's really hindering in his development. But you can do things that will cause him to be able, as he grows to maturity, to take care of things for himself. And friend, let me impress this upon you if I can. Young people deserve a home where Christ reigns supreme. A home where there is love and consideration. Where there is sympathy and kindness. Where there is a strong father-mother image. Where successes are shared with enthusiasm. And where failures are also shared that can be turned into advantages, learning experiences. They need to be taught. Success and failure both exist in the time of life. A home that provides security and comfort, where the rule is to love God and love God's way, that's a home that's truly a blessing to the young. We may be able to teach our young how to make a living, but fail to teach them how to live. This is the primary responsibility of father and mother. And young people deserve a home where each person is appreciated and loved. There ought not be favoritism among the children. Some get sick of home, and they leave home as soon as they're able to leave it because the home is just not what it ought to be. But others, when they leave home, they get homesick because they remember the love of the home. You see, the home is where one is accepted. The home is to be where one is loved for what he and she is, and to always be encouraged to be what you ought to be, and to be what you're capable of being. The home may include criticism at times, but criticism that is corrective but constructive. Constructive criticism that's given in kindness, that's given in order to help, given as a motivation to improve. You see, a good home, it's not determined by the address. It's not determined by the household furnishings in the house. It's not determined by the number and kind of cars that are in the garage or driveway. The humblest of dwellings sometimes are often the very best homes. A good home is determined by love and loyalty to God, to Christ, and to one another, where everyone is taught to respect the respectable and to have reverence for deity. Parents have a duty to set the tone for the home in such things. Young people are underprivileged and deprived when that is lacking in their upbringing, when they don't have a home like that. You talk about what young people deserve. They deserve a home where God is respected. There's a moving story about a lady who once answered the knock on her door, and the little boy asked her, "Does Jesus live here?" Well, friend, this is a question every one of us ought to ask regarding our homes and strive to be sure to make it a place where Jesus does live. And another thing, and we close with this, young people have the right to obey God when they reach the age of accountability. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, Ecclesiastes 12:1. Young people deserve an example before them of obedience to the gospel. Parents, you cannot lead where you will not go. How will children ever be impressed with the need to obey the gospel when father or mother, or maybe both, ignore the Lord, ignore his authority, who refuse to obey his commands and don't become Christians? Young people deserve the opportunity to develop their talents. They deserve the opportunity to learn and to study the Lord's Word. They deserve Christian association to aid them in their upbringing. The church seldom overcomes the influence of the home in matters of leading the children to Christ. Young people have a right to a good church, to be sure, but they have a right to father and mother who will lead them and train them to become children of God. No person, younger or older, has a right to live life just any way he pleases. We have the right to live life the way God pleases. Friend, do you realize God is the one that has given you life? He's given me life. My life and your life, they belong to God. To deprive God of our lives, that's to rob God. That's to take from God what belongs to God. And young people deserve the opportunity to live for God. They must be taught to live for God. Oh, we might suggest many other things maybe that young people deserve. We may be able to provide things for them that we think we could not do. We may not spend our time, waste our time trying to give them things that they don't deserve. But if we fail them in their training, if we fail them in giving them the right kind of biblical, divinely given instruction, if we fail to discipline them in love and teaching them to work and to set the right example before them in service to God through Christ, I tell you, we've sinned against that child. We have failed them in the things that really matter. Yes, the young people deserve a place of refuge in his years of development and his years of growing from childhood to adulthood. A home should be his haven, where he or she can take his problems, frustrations, and his joys, and where self-esteem can be developed, and where there's respect for authority, particularly the authority of Almighty God. Is that what your young people are receiving in your home? They deserve that. God says you owe them that. Let's provide for our young what really matters. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.